From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer. If you look up the Indian instrument, the sitar, in the World Book Encyclopedia, there's a picture of Ravi Shankar, the man who's done more than anyone to expose the Western world to the music of his native India, is retiring. Shankar is 81, and he's giving what he says will be his final North American performance in Chicago tonight. Tony Sarabia of Chicago Public Radio has this appreciation.
For more than 40 years, Ravi Shankar has been India's unofficial cultural ambassador, exporting a music whose roots can be traced back almost 2,000 years. Indian classical music began as religious music, but in the 1960s, it achieved enough pop success in the West that the word raga became almost a household term. For Ravi Shankar, it's easier to say what a raga is not than what it is.
A raga is not a key, or just a melody, or just a scale, or even a mode. And there are hundreds and thousands of ragas, all connected with different time of the day, night, evening, afternoon, etc., or even seasons.
In India, ragas are composed to accompany the activities of everyday life, from getting up in the morning to going to bed at night. Ravi Shankar was 18 years old when he began his formal study of this ancient music, a period, he says, was filled with hardship.
Hardship in the sense that it's the old system where it's like any religious practice or any other yoga training or whatever, you do nothing else but totally focus on what you do. And it was music, music and nothing else, no entertainment, no diversions.
After his first year of study, Shankar started playing sitar recitals on All India Radio. By 1947, he was making a name for himself in India, not only as a performer, but a composer. In the late 1940s, he scored music for a ballet and began a career as a film composer. In 1952, Shankar played a special concert in New Delhi for the late classical violinist Yehudi Menuhin. It proved to be a turning point for both men. Menuhin fell in love with Indian music, and Shankar found a willing partner to help bring this music to Western ears. But because their cultures were so different, the collaborations were not exactly jam sessions, and Shankar took on a role he would play the rest of his life, that of a teacher.
I composed pieces based on ragas and talas, which Yehudi was so wonderful, you know, he learned them, he wrote them down, we practiced, I taught him, and then we recorded.
They recorded three albums together under the title West Meets East. The first in 1966, the last in 1976. The first hit the Billboard charts, the second won a Grammy for Best Chamber Music Performance. But it's perhaps Shankar's work with another man that brought Indian music to its widest audience. Shankar met Beatle George Harrison in 1966. He gave Harrison some sitar lessons, and Harrison immediately put the instrument to use in the recording studio.
Of course, it made a tremendous impact, especially on the young generation. For them, almost overnight, you know, they started knowing about sitar and myself, because of George Harrison becoming my student, which was good in a way because normally it would have taken us so much more time.
Shankar didn't mind his instrument and its music being taken out of context. What he didn't like were the associations some were making between Indian music and the drug culture. Nevertheless, he found himself performing at the Monterey Pop Festival in 1967.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Let's all pray and hope that I can give a good performance to you and that it doesn't rain.
Monterey, to me, was really something wonderful because that was the beginning of that era, I would say almost, the flower children and peace and love. And there was a certain innocence in the whole atmosphere then.
That same year, Shankar met composer Philip Glass, who says he was deeply influenced by Indian music and learned a lot from Shankar.
He's a great spontaneous teacher. He teaches all the time. When you're with him, you're always learning. It's not that there's a music lesson, it's that the music lessons never really stop.
Glass and Shankar collaborated on and off over the next two decades and finally recorded together in 1990. Composer Philip Glass calls Shankar one of the 20th century's great music communicators. Shankar, though, is more modest when asked to guess about his legacy.
That's for you to say. I have no, what is the word, qualm about it. But of course, I like to be remembered for my sincere and serious approach to music, to my music, which I have given my life to, and that's the main thing.
Although Shankar says he's retiring from performance, he is leaving the door open just a bit for a comeback.
It's very hard for musicians to retire because that wonderful feeling playing in front of the audience and they're receiving their love and appreciation is something, I think, much greater than any money in the world can give to an artist.
For now, though, he plans to spend his time in New Delhi, the location of the new Ravi Shankar Institute for Music and the Performing Arts, where he'll be teaching, composing, and giving the occasional small private performance. For NPR News, I'm Tony Sarabia in Chicago.